to another Catch a Play with Paulie. If it had good intros, it would be professional and not in the beer world, I guess. I don't know. So another Catch a Play with Paulie. We got my friend Nate Query here. Bunch of us in the neighborhood, like Andy James, my partners. We know Nate from school. Kids go in the same school and PTA. And you were just talking about basketball with Andy, right?
Yeah. Our kids are on the same basketball team.
So you're a normal dude, right?
Yeah. Just
You're not a superhero. Or
yeah. Well. I sometimes pretend to be one.
Cool. So Nate's in a band, the Decemberists, right? We got a couple awesome indie rock bands here in Portland. It's mecca for indie rock and grunge back in the day. And we're psyched to have them as part of our community. We're going to talk a little bit about music. We're going to talk about bread making, home brewing. I don't know, supporting the community, being a good citizen. Right?
Yeah. Right.
You want to start with? Should we start with beer or bread? What's more interesting this morning?
Well, let's start by drinking, tasting something.
Okay, malty, grainy maybe. So yeah, let's start with the Pilsner. We came out with one recently. It's called Ledge.
Yeah,
I'm as a professional, maybe award-winning home brewer.
I don't know. No, I never entered.
Let us know what you think, dude.
Oh, that's great. That's nice.
Crisp.
Yeah.
Clear. Someone not too long ago told us it needs a little more carbonation, but other than that, it's spot on. What do you think?
That doesn't bother me.
I could crush this right now.
People get critical, but I think that's really nice.
Cool. Don't so what me. What's your favorite kind of beer to brew and also just to drink on a regular day?
I like hoppy beers, but that are on the lighter side.
Yeah.
I appreciate a double IPA here and there, but generally like. When I was brewing, part of what I was going for was like a really hoppy beer that's like under 5%.
Okay.
I guess a session. Like what, session IPA.
Yeah.
At that point, I'd never heard of it.
What's your favorite like classic Portland IPA, West Coast style?
Probably the Blue Dot.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
I love everything they do. And their Ruth is a really good beer. I don't know if that's technically an IPA because it's like they use Pilsner malt, but it's good.
Is that Hair of the Dog?
Hair of the Dog, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and they're like kind of classic, old school.
Heck yeah.
Started the revolution a little bit.
Yeah, no, they're rad, man.
Yeah.
Their big one's Fred, right? People like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the different names they put out.
Yeah, they do a lot of barrel-aged stuff. But I'm not as much into the big beers. I like them, but I also like to drink beer.
Yeah, to crush it, and not just drink. That's why we left the stout off, right?
Yeah.
You don't want like a 12% stout right now at 10 in the morning.
This is great. I tried to make a Pilsner when I homebrewed, and that's a really hard beer to make at home. And I decided to leave that to the professionals.
Cool. Did you get a sideways lagering homebrew tank or something, dude?
I did it in a chest freezer with a temperature control, but it didn't really turn out.
How long did it take too? Because these guys, Andy and James, they were scaring me at first, saying it might take us months.
I think I did the shortest I thought would work, and it was pretty clear it wasn't good. I think I dumped it actually.
Yeah. Okay. So how many years have you been homebrewing for?
Well, I haven't homebrewed in a while, but I did it for a good 3 or 5 years, something like that.
Was it pre-kids?
It was
in the middle.
It was pre and during kids, and then when the second kid came along, it was pretty clear that something had to go. And home brewing was it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now what's just talk about music for a second. What's touring like with kids, man? Is work life balance always sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. Leaving home with little kids is really hard because when I'm home, I'm kind of the primary parent or whatever. So then going away, it's a big hole to fill. We usually get like a nanny or something.
Okay. Cool.
And then
shout out to our wives real quick.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah. Cheers.
They're amazing.
And then I have a lot of family in town, and then my wife has to pick up a lot of slack, and it's I think it's hardest on her. Well, I mean, it's hard on the kids too, but you can't tell because everything with them comes out sideways. You know?
Right, dude. I can't imagine doing this stuff like nowhere near touring, but like I used to travel a ton for my old job, and now I still travel a good amount, at least once or twice a month, but. Before FaceTime, dude, and video chat. I can't imagine how much tougher it was, dude.
Yeah, totally. I remember in the early days of touring, it's like I'd have a calling card and didn't even have a cell phone, so I'd get a pay phone and try and call home for, 10 minutes while we're at a rest area. It's like, so a lot of it's easier now, but still being gone is being gone.
Yeah.
It's hard.
No, it definitely sucks. Dude, the worst is, yeah, different time zones, too.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, like, we have family in Thailand. It's just, you just miss each other all the time. Yeah. You're trying to call.
But the funny thing is, like, when I'm home, I'm parenting so much that sometimes if I know I'm going to have that nice hotel in another city to look forward to in a few weeks, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Do you take baths when you go out?
I don't. But a lot of...
Once in a while, I will.
People I tour with definitely do. Yeah. And some people have, like, their little request for every hotel that they get a room in the bathtub. Nice. If I have one with a bathtub, I'll usually text one of the people that wants one and be like, hey, I got a bathtub if you want to switch, because I don't care.
That's cool, dude. Yeah, what's it like? Do you mind talking about, like, tour life, too? I find it really interesting because I wanted to be a big famous music dude. I ran a record, tried to write songs, and ran a record label for a long time, but we never blew up enough where got to request bathtubs and shit like that. So, what's some of the things you do when you go on tour? Some stuff that keeps you sane?
It's funny, like, staying sane is one of the hardest things, because you have to be, you really want to be at your best at showtime, and so in between it's like there's so much downtime and so much time to just kind of like let your mind spiral that it's good to have things to ground you. I usually like to explore the city we're in. I bring a bicycle and
cool. Yeah, I'm not talking about that actually.
So it's a nice way to get around where I have some freedom and I'm not dependent on somebody giving me a ride or traffic or anything. I could just kind of zip around, and I usually find some sort of food, coffee or beer or something.
Cool.
Just something to explore in the city that's unique to that place, or just, I mean, at this point, in a lot of cities, I have the place I go to.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't even explore anymore. I'm just like, I'm going to Ria's when I'm in Atlanta or whatever, yeah.
And then, I'm equating this to like something, when I used to go on like a big sales meeting or whatever back in tech sales days, like, you know, you get your downtime during the day, I'd go for a run, you'd go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
But then to get pumped up, I'd like listen to Mobb Deep or something. So what do you do to get pumped up?
Well, you know, in December's backstage, we have a pretty nice audio setup. We have a turntable, and it's built into a case that can go on the truck that has room for records and everything.
Cool.
And Colin, Chris, and John all shop for records on tour all the time, so there's always new music to listen to. But we tend to kind of have, like, kind of a chill, it's not like we get, like, super pumped up. It's just, like, there's a time before the show where it's just us, and maybe we're getting changed into our show clothes and and listening to music and whatever.
Talking about the set, or do you do the same set, like, basically every night?
No, it switches up. So sometimes we'll talk about it, especially if there's some curveballs on there or something we haven't
done. Someone wants to change something to last minute.
Yeah, or something we haven't done in a while. And so John, the drummer, and I will be there, like, listening to make sure we remember.
Yeah. And then when you're off tour, you never touch a December's record or anything for like a year straight, dude.
Well, sometimes my kids make me listen to it, but it's funny. My wife will say, like, I forgot you had a show coming up, but when I hear you start listening to December's again, I know you have a show coming up. Because then it's like, because I'm starting to review.
What do you do when you're in the car and someone puts 94.7 on and a December's song comes on the radio?
Kind of sit there and like, I wonder if anyone's going to notice. And who's going to say what? I don't know. I still get really excited to hear my band on the radio.
Heck, I think, dude. It's just like the old days.
It's totally crazy. I'm like, I can't believe it. When I was in the 90s, I was in a band called Colobo. And we were Portland-based, kind of hippie jam band, but a little more.
Jammy Pants Sour.
Jammy Pants.
BCBG. I always forget what that means. I don't know. Black Currant or something like that. Blackberry grapes. I don't know. You remember guava. Taylor remembers. I don't.
Mm. Oh, man.
So, that is really Colobo?
Colobo. Sometimes I try to play down the hippie part of it, but then I see videos and I'm like, okay, I wore a tie-dye with cutoffs and no shoes. We're a hippie band.
But, you definitely rock no shoes on stage?
Rarely, but there's video evidence. So. Right.
How many members had patchouli on?
I don't know, maybe one.
Okay.
And you know what? The Decemberists has a patchouli member too.
okay.
So
I won't knock
that's
it
the
then.
Same. Yeah. Decemberists has a higher percentage of patchouli wearing people than
I mean, we're in Portland. It's whatever.
It's cool.
You grew up here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So you're North Portland through and through, or no?
I grew up on the west side.
Okay.
And then I've lived on the east side since high school. Cool. Yeah. So I played with
Colobo. What's that like? You're the first Portlander I've met. It's so rare though, dude, right?
It is kind of funny, like now when I, if, yeah, now it's uncommon, it feels like. And yeah. People be like, oh, really? And then you start doing the do you know? Because everybody that mm-hmm. actually grew up here must know each other. Feels yeah. that way sometimes.
Yeah, there's like five high schools though.
I'm joking.
No, it's small though, man. And yeah, it's rare that I meet someone who's actually from Portland, dude, you know?
Yeah, it's especially with the way the city's changed so much, a lot of people that, I mean, people move around, but like it's bigger, right. It's more expensive. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really different.
We have suburbs that are starting to pop off. I don't know, I'm reading about all the cool new like Japanese companies that are coming out towards, you know, Hillsboro, Beaverton area too.
Totally.
I never wanted to move to the suburbs, but part of me is like, it's a little more diverse out that way, you know?
A lot more. And I've been spending a lot more time in Lentz. It was a mm-hmm. family member who's been sick out there. So I've been driving out there all the time. Oh man, the food is off the hook out there. Like, and I knew that anyway, but I just living in North Portland, I don't bother. Yeah,
which is
to
not
get
affordable anymore, but now Lentz is even creeping, right? Like in affordability for a first time home buyer, right? Because North Portland used to be, but definitely not anymore. Right?
Yeah, no, like my block, the last few people that have bought a house on there have been like retirees coming from more expensive cities. Mm-hmm. Whereas it used to be like, it was another family moved in, all right, more kids, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Cool.
But,
hey, you're in your 30s, you know, you're about to have a kid or whatever, you know, not to run our 30s anymore.
But Lentz is, like Outer East Side has some mm-hmm. awesome food and cultural stuff going on. It's really cool. Reminds me of old Portland.
Is that where the Portland Pickles play?
Yeah.
Down by there, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Cool. We might do a sponsorship with them. The games are kind of fun, dude.
Really fun.
Have you been to a couple?
Yeah. It's so fun. It was awesome.
Cool. It's nice having a baseball team, dude.
We saw this Australian team play them that was in town that had, some of them were staying at my mom's house, and my mom was like,
how'd that happen?
She lives next to a super baseball nerd family that was like, hey, do you want to put up some Australian players when the team's in town? And, you know, my mom's like, yeah, sure, great.
Why not? So, that's cool. So is your mother kind of who taught you, who inspired you to be such a great citizen in the community, right? Because you're doing some awesome things, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Is that who you get it from?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, my mom's somebody who's always been really good at connecting to people, all kinds of people. And so she really set a good example that way. And she, but I don't know if it's, you know, it's hard to trace back. It's not mm-hmm. like we really clearly like she took us to protests or taught us to be activists or something like that. But I felt like when I was young, just got influenced by some teachers and even peers who just like wanted to try and connect to people in a way that like lifts everybody up. Yeah.
Cool. Well, dude, you're doing a great job. So yeah, cheers to that, man.
Cheers
to
that.
We definitely appreciate it. Just, you know, living in the same community and mm-hmm. in the same schools. But so Nate's helping out with PTA. He's helping out with site council, right?
I don't do the site council, but there's I feel like there's a lot of opportunities in school to connect to your community. It's a natural way to connect mm-hmm. to your community in a way where you can figure out what do people need and what are ways to make our community better for everybody.
Yeah.
So schools,
for the record, Portland Public Schools needs your help. So help out in any way you can, dude.
Yeah.
They're not funded well at all, and funding keeps getting threatened again and again and again.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's like the schools are under-resourced and mm-hmm. but even with that, there's so many, like, you know, somebody moves here from another country, mm-hmm. moves next door to our school, their kids start the next day, and there's tons of people at our school ready to like help them integrate and connect them to resources they need to get settled in Portland. And that's exciting. Like the school can be a hub for people to find resources they need or just connect to other people in a way that mm-hmm. makes our whole community better. So
yeah. No, I feel it's the people are definitely there to help. It's just government
the
funding.
The system is
government
brutal.
Government funding sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
The system.
And the whole, and Portland Public Schools is a horrible track record of well, like racism and inequity and mm-hmm. unfairness and like the, and even now, like, you know, the West Side schools will have an auction and raise $300,000 so they can hire 6 extra teachers, and most, like 90% of the schools don't even have any funding for that. So
right. yeah, it's hard in other districts and other areas of the city. Do you want to talk a little bit? I find it interesting that you will go to local jails or detention centers.
Yeah.
Help people play music, inspire them, right? And I think that's really cool. I'd like to hear more about it.
Yeah, so for about the last year, I've been working at Columbia River Corrections Facility, which is a minimum security prison out by the airport.
Try an IPA?
Yeah.
Juice Junior, flagship IPA. You probably had that one.
Six percent,
all mosaic.
It's about
IPA.
As old school as you guys get. It's the first one you did?
It's the second beer we ever brewed, first IPA. This is Glamour Week said it, like, changed Oregon beer forever or something like that.
Right? You guys started the hazy thing here, right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Columbia River. Okay, yeah. So a neighbor of mine has been doing some work out there with like a men's group. It's kind of a just discussion group.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted to start a music program out there where it's like a music studio, so guys can record their own music and writing and working on their own music. It's really about them working on their music. And he asked me to help him figure out how to get the recording working, because there's a lot of limitations. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a dedicated space, so it needs to be a mobile recording unit. Can't be too much gear, because you have to check it in and out every time you come.
It can't be
a computer. There's all these things that it can't be.
Because then they can go on the internet and do
whatever. There can't be any internet or Bluetooth connectivity or yada, yada, yada.
How serious are the crimes these dudes committed?
So, mostly I'm not looking it up.
But, you're not asking, like, hey, so did you murk 10 dudes and now I'm in the room with you?
But, you know, some, and this is, so most of the guys at Columbia River are either there for a low-level crime because they're getting out soon, or they've been in for a long time and they've been deemed minimum security, and so they're getting out soon.
Cool.
And Columbia River has a lot of substance abuse treatment programs to help people re-enter. So it seems like a lot of people, it's probably substance abuse related, but I don't really know. But like there's one guy there, he's been in prison for like 16 years. He's 35, really great musician, learned music in prison.
Almost half his life, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Totally, and he's getting out maybe in 6 months if he succeeds in staying in the program, which is like a substance abuse program treatment thing, because that shortens your sentence if you get through it. But, you know, he seems really ready to do something, but you think about, like, to be in prison from 19 to 36 or whatever, like...
What are you going to do, man?
I mean, there's so many skills you don't have, so many things you don't know. The program...
Can you go to college in prison here in Portland?
I don't know.
I think some states you can.
I think so. I think so, but I don't know. And it's weird. Like, I go in Monday mornings at 9, I'm with them till 11, just like trying to help guys record.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of split between country, metal, basically white guys doing guitar-based music, and then black guys doing rap.
Okay.
There's some crossover, but it's really a split. Helping them record, sometimes playing along with them, or helping them layer stuff that I can mix later at home. And then I'm out.
Any guys you want to sign?
There's some guys that are really good. I mean, I don't want to run a record label. Yeah. Do not want to run a record label.
I did that back in the day. It's
It's. I think it's probably as hard as ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible job no matter what. God bless the people that do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really talented guys. But
it's
also, I think some of it is just it's cool to see guys doing music, something they're working on, something that's creative. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good to do, even if there's not necessarily like a big goal about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And writing lyrics and trying to find ways to artistically express what they've been through, because they've been through a lot, almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Cool. That's what's up.
Yeah.
What's going on with any other music projects besides the Decemberists?
So I've been pretty quiet. Like the Decemberists have had almost a year and a half off since our last tour. And
anything new?
Nope.
Okay. Cool.
we might do some touring this year, but nothing official is being said at this point.
Got it.
You don't want to break exclusive news. No, I had to play with Polly. I'm sure the other members would love that.
That would be funny. I don't.
You heard it first.
There's
TMZ.
There's a whole Polly protocol TMZ. About where things get released.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But we'll get you on the. We'll get you a press release when we're ready.
The media tour, chat to play with Paulie. Yeah. All right.
Let's do a show back there, dude.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Sorry. So back to any solo stuff?
Yeah, that's something I really want to get going. And but it's been nice to just sort of lean into family with little kids and a lot going on with the older generation too. Like, it just seems like one after another, somebody's getting cancer or dying or getting sick. And it's, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So...
you're making I've music taken with a, your kids so too, I've right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So I've been using music to connect to community in prison and at school mm-hmm. and with the kids, and at school with other parents, mm-hmm. fundraisers. I want to get a solo thing going again. Or I had a band called Black Prairie that was a collaboration, and I'd like to do another sort of like mostly instrumental kind of experimental group again. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes life slows it down.
There's do you know Ben Lee? I don't know. He's one artist I used to like back in the day, but he's actually coming to Portland real soon. But he just put out an album not too long ago where he had just a guest singer or a guest instrumental song on an album.
Yeah.
So that's cool, right?
That's awesome. I feel like I'm trying to place he's kind of older artist.
He's Australian, older artist. He was signed.
Oh, yeah.
I found out him from the Beastie Boys. Like, right. I interned with Grand Royal way back in the day, and they signed his band Noise Addict.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been in America forever and married to Ione Sky now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know his stuff, but I thought you meant, like, do you know Ben Lee, like somebody that was at school with our kids?
No. There's that. I think it's, like, a really popular name. I'm pretty sure there's, like, some clothing called Ben Lee, too, or something.
Right.
No, Ben Smith. Ben.
Sherman.
Ben Sherman. Thank you. Yeah. Cool. What else should we talk about, dude? Bread, right? So you, we're old dudes who have weird hobbies. I don't know, right? So you're into making bread, dude. You do really good sourdough bread.
I was like,
right?
I got some understanding of fermentation, but homebrew is really fun, mm-hmm. but it's also very self-indulgent when you're a dad because you're like, can't share it with my kids.
Oh, wife.
My wife doesn't. Yeah. My wife doesn't drink beer, really.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
But, so I kind of...
By the way, self.
But it did, homebrewing did teach me that, like, oh, you can kind of take... It's really fun to, like, dig into something that you like to make and figure mm-hmm. out how to make it the way you like it.
Right.
So the last year or so, I've gotten into doing sourdough bread, and that's really fun. And it's also easier to share with people.
Yeah, totally.
There's not as many steps to getting it to a shareable point.
And how... 1 to 10, how nerdy are you with it? How much science you're eating, and how much do you evaluate each loaf? Like, dude, the crust is fucking,
I'm probably, like, right in the middle.
Okay.
So, like, I was that way with beer, too. Like, I had a friend who kind of taught me how to do it. He mm-hmm. he was way more, like, taking notes on everything and using a calculator to figure out what this was going to be and that was going to be. And I was a little more casual than that, mm-hmm. and it would sort of be like, oh, I got some extra, you know, whatever hops lying around and throw them in.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd write it down, sometimes I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's kind of...
It sounds like an Andy and a James.
That's kind of how I am with the bread. But then I had a couple of friends who were homebrewers. I brewed with them, and they were, like, way lax, and I was like, it was really stressing me. I was like, don't put your hands in there, man. You're going to contaminate it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, I think I'm in the middle. That's and cool. The same thing with the bread and with cooking. It's like I tend to improvise and...
Yeah. Oh, you make a good oxtail stew, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I had that. Yeah. Dude, I love cooking.
Yeah, and I made that up from, like, I lived with a guy who made oxtail stew, kind of Mexican style, and then I copied him and then changed it until it was something totally different.
So it was Nate style?
Yeah, and that's...
Cool. Yeah. I love oxtail stew. So a Jamaican friend of mine, the first time I had it. Actually, every time I had it was Jamaican booze. Yeah, but I think that's the style I like best because the Scotch bonnet, man.
Oh, it's so good.
Food of peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are weirded out by it, but dude, it's just fucking part of a cow or whatever, dude. You know,
I know.
There's meat around a bone.
It's so good. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, if you think of beef as steak, mm-hmm. then it's weird when there's all these little bones in there and you got to pick it out, but man, it's so good.
Yeah. I don't know. More and more people are coming around to like, Calbee ribs or whatever, you know, like people eat short ribs, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I love cooking. I probably only get to do it like every other week. So weeknight dishes are different than cooking, right? It's like,
true.
You know, you're a parent. So some weeknights you get your 20-minute shit, right? But then you got days where you can take 3 hours and really get into it, you know?
Yeah. My kids like to cook, so sometimes that helps because we can like, I can put them to work. And at least it keeps them busy so that I can finish.
What, just real quick fire question about food then. What's your favorite cuisine? Like international cuisine, name your favorite country or style of food.
Probably Mexican and Vietnamese are like...
Or favorite to eat. For sure. Favorite to eat.
Yeah.
Mexican and Vietnamese. Vietnamese is my wife's favorite. Indian's probably my favorite, I have to say, yeah. How about favorite to cook? Favorite style to cook?
Probably Mexican or...
Or Vietnamese.
No, not... Well, I'm not very good at making Vietnamese food, but... So probably Mexican, because there's,
Lebanese. So. I'm going back and forth. Lebanese might be overtaking Indian as my favorite these days, dude.
I don't know.
So when you go on tour, and when you guys go on tour, do you do world, or is it mostly American, Europe?
Mostly U.S. and Canada, and then we usually do Europe once a record cycle for like a month or 3 weeks or something.
Okay. What's your favorite European country?
So we don't go to a ton of them, but as far as ones I've been to, I would say Spain. But like the Decembers never go to Spain. We went to Spain early on and we never go back. So on tour, we tend to go mostly...
Valencia? Is that a city in Spain or no?
That is a city in Spain.
You guys never performed
but
there?
But I think I don't know if we've played there since that song came out.
Okay. Was that what's your biggest song?
Biggest song is probably Down by the Water.
Okay.
But that's a good question. I don't even know how you figure that out.
I don't know.
But it probably is Down by the Water because that was on the record that got the most attention.
You could say like
MP3
Down.
And it was a Grammy nominated. So it's probably the one that got...
You had to throw that in? Or no?
Well, that's why it's the biggest one.
I was going to ask anyway. I'm playing, dude. Yeah.
But Valencia... I don't know, it depends on, like, in terms of, I think Down by the Water in Valencia are the ones that people that don't really know the Decemberists probably know. And then people that do know the Decemberists, God, I don't know, and that'd be interesting, like, what's the most popular for them. Probably something weird, like maybe the Whale song. We do a Mariner's Revenge song encore with Whale comes out. And
maybe the Hamilton
people die.
One for the new kids, or no?
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I can see that.
What's your favorite Decemberist song?
Oh man, that's hard, I don't know. I mean, it changes all the time, because like a song will be favorite, and then if we play it too much one tour, I'm like, I don't need to play it for a while. I think we're all kind of that way. But yeah, I don't know, that's impossible. It's too much.
I went before this, just this morning, I went back through amongst Decemberist songs. So,
yeah, what's your favorite Decemberist song?
So it used to be, I found one that I forgot about, dude. So I really, back in the day, it's probably like at least 10 years ago, The Sporting Life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that old, too?
That came out in 2005.
Yeah, so at least 10 years old. Yeah, so that was when I had first moved to Portland, and I moved in here in 2005.
Oh, okay.
I loved that song. I don't know why, dude, but I love it.
No, that's a great song.
Not that
song.
I don't know why, it's good, but...
Well, I don't know why you like that song, man.
Well, because I think it... There were one or two other like more popular ones, right, on the radio besides.
Yeah, no, that even on that record, what was the hit on there? Anyway, that's a great song. It's really fun.
Cool. I don't know what other songs I like. There was one I texted you about the other day, and my daughter, my 4-year-old, could probably name the name of it. But we heard it this morning. I was like, oh, dude, I love this one too. Did she? I wish I could pull up my phone and describe it. But Albie was saying like, Daddy, he's talking bad about her. Oh, help me, help you. No, what's it called? I want her to help me. Dude, I'm being really bad right now. Make you better. Help me.
Make
I'm
you
talking
better.
About helping someone, dude.
Make you better.
That song, dude.
Yeah. That.
And I was like, well, he should be responsible for himself instead of asking her to help him so much. I don't know. And it might not be her.
Yeah, that's an interesting interpretation of that song.
Well, it's a 4-year-old. It's a 4-year-old I'm talking about here. We can cut this part out if you want. Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny.
So you don't know your favorite?
No, I don't know.
You probably have a favorite per
say.
Album, right?
Yeah, and sometimes my favorite is like, well, actually, Make You Better is definitely a favorite, partly because there's this like there's this, when the solo comes up, or there's a part where it kind of goes to a different section and then there's a solo, it kind of, it just, the energy level goes really high, and that part is just really fun to play with the band. And that is almost always a point in the show where John, the drummer, and I look at each other and we're like, wow, this is cool. So, yeah, there's just funny, sometimes the songs that are my favorite is just because it's fun to play, which doesn't necessarily mean it's my favorite to listen to, but I don't really sit around and listen to this.
Right, gotcha.
By the time the record's done, we've all listened to it a thousand times.
Yeah, a million times. Do you guys switch up songwriting at all? Like, do you ever start out with, hey, I got this sick-ass fucking bass, what do you call it, scale or whatever?
Riff.
Dude, I haven't done music in like 20 years, man.
Well, Colin writes all the songs for the Decemberists. Sometimes he
writes all lyrics or even songs too.
Yeah. Like, so he'll usually bring it to us. It's sometimes he brings it to us even in rehearsal. He'll just be like, "Hey, I got this new song," and we'll kind of play it, and we just kind of play whatever we think.
So guitar and lyrics.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But sometimes he kind of makes a demo where he plays bass on it and puts keyboard part down and figures out drums, either live drums or Logic drums or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it varies how complete of an idea he brings us, but the song's always done.
Got it. Does anyone come to him and say, "Hey, we need to do this instead"? Or
no, I mean, it's pretty. It's once we start figuring out how the song's going to go in terms of what everyone plays, it's pretty collaborative. Like, there's everybody gives their input, or will be like, "Hey, what if you try this?" Or try, do a different sound on the keyboards or whatever.
Cool.
But usually Colin tries to at least give us his initial idea. And sometimes he's like, "I really want to stick with this idea." And sometimes he's like, "Yeah, I don't know. This was just my idea, but if you have another idea, whatever." So it can go in a lot of directions once we all get the room together.
Cool. Have you been in the band since the beginning?
Pretty much. I mean, technically, Colin started the band with people that aren't in the band anymore. When they came up with the name and did their first show and whatever. And that was within, I don't know, 6 months or a year from when I joined and then Jenny joined. And then we made our first demo and Chris Funk was on that. So that's kind of what...
was that? What year?
End of 2000, beginning of 2001. So this is 20 years for us this year.
Yeah. Cool, man. Congrats. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's hard to keep a band together.
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah. That's when I like basically ended mine, kind of. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like 04. No, I guess we ended like 02 or 03. But yeah, 20 years is a long time, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly half our lives.
Yeah.
Cool. What's next for you? Family, bread.
Yeah.
Helping out the community.
I like a lot of the stuff I've been getting into, like the prison thing. It feels like there's a lot of room there to do more, whether it's connecting to other things around the country. It feels like this year's a good year to figure out a way to lift up people working on voter registration and get out the vote stuff.
Yeah, dude.
That's going to be a big deal. and I wonder if the Decemberists travel this year, if there's ways to use that traveling to... support those kind of movements.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I feel like you guys would be a good band for it, right?
Yeah, we've done that in other election years, starting in 2004. Even just using shows as a place for people to register to vote or find out about how to register to vote, that's a big thing, because the youth vote is a big deal. Decemberists still have young people who are fans, but also we don't quite have as much of the youth vote as we did in 2004, but still.
That's why I think that Hamilton helped out a little bit. That's all, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because we have some friends that are, like at least 10, 15, 20 years younger. They're not that young, but at least 10 years younger. Like,
yeah.
I know the Decemberists. I know that Ben Franklin song.
We always have a handful. There's always a good younger contingent, but... being a band this long, like, there's definitely...
Yeah, it's hard, dude.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, it's like, we play big enough shows that our tickets are expensive enough that a lot of kids aren't going to do that. Where, in 2004, we were playing for an $8 cover, so...
You ever get to pick your opening acts, too? You could pick super young opening acts, right?
Yeah, we always pick our opening acts. Colin usually has a lot to do with it, but...
You can't pick a Columbia River... figure. I don't know.
It's usually somebody that's going to add value to the show, so they have to have a draw already. It's usually somebody that is, you know, has a draw and has some cachet and is going to be fun to tour with and fun to listen to every night. But from their perspective, they have to feel like it's a good time for them to, you know, take a little bit of a financial hit to be in front of a lot of people for a few weeks or whatever. Because the opening gig is kind of a weird gig. It's like, especially when you're following a band with a bus, because you have these really long drives every day, you play for half an hour.
Yeah.
But a lot of those bands, because we, you know, we play 2 or 3 days and then take a day off, they'll book shows on the days off in other cities. And we never really did opening tours, but some of the bands that do the opening tours, seems like they're having a great time, so.
That's cool. My man Taylor, who's filming this right now, just mentioned a little bit ago, I didn't know this back in the day, but he's saying you gotta pay sometimes to get on a tour, or even like pay 10 grand to get on a tour as an opening act or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Taylor, what's your band? Shout it out.
It's a terrible idea.
So, Bystander?
Yeah, it's called Bystander.
Oh, cool.
Do you want a death metal group to open for you guys this time around or no?
Probably not.
Well, you guys should come play the Prison Talent Show. There's some death metal fans out there.
Hell yeah, dude. Are they allowed to get on the internet then and then pay to download?
So we haven't. Afterwards, yeah, you know, it's funny. I've helped coordinate 2 talent shows. They have a talent show every month.
Yeah.
Just for inside guys. But like twice a year we do a talent show out there where everybody can perform and outside people can come in so people can invite their families and whatever. And I brought in some outside musicians. And it's kind of a hilarious show because there's like solo singer-songwriter, then like a country dude, we had a jazz band, then there's like a couple death metal guys, and then the rappers and like...
A little bit of everything.
It's really funny, yeah.
But did anyone cover the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song?
Nobody covered that.
No, it's gonna kill it, dude.
It's gonna be so good.
Everyone better know that one, right?
Everybody.
Our demographic. Don't
for
know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. On that note, dude, thanks for coming in. Thanks for letting me interview you.
Yeah, that's really fun.
You now got to finish your flight.
Right? Yeah.
I'm joking. You don't have to.
They
might
want
people might want to see you at least chug one though, dude. Yeah, I'm joking. You chug Pilsen? Half joke?
Sure.
You chug Pilsen. It's 5. You probably got 3 ounces left. And close it out with that. Come on, dude. I'm joking.